is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
And welcome to Cosmos and the City, the Sex and the City podcast. My name is Megan McKeever, and I'll be your host slash gal pal for the next hour or so. So this is the first episode of the new year, and I'm so excited. So for those of you listening for the very first time, we'll be watching through the entire series of Sex and the City, and each week I'll have a brand new guest to join me. So this week we have an amazing guest, Kim Kalish, and we'll be watching season 3, episode 16, titled Frenemies. Now, if you like what you hear and want to show us some love, you can find us on Instagram and Facebook, both at Cosmos and the City, or on Twitter at CATC Podcast. And if you haven't done so already, please go like, rate, and subscribe. It really allows our podcast to grow. And if you have any other thoughts, opinions, ideas, etc., you can email us at cosmosandthecity@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from all of you. This show is brought to you by Boardwalk Audio, and they've got a lot of other awesome podcasts, so head over to boardwalkaudio.com to check them out. And if you like this show and want to support it, the best way to do so is by shopping. That's right. Just go to boardwalkaudio.com/cosmos, click on the Amazon logo to the left, and start shopping away. And we'll also put a link in the show notes. Okay, everybody, enjoy the show. All right. Well, welcome to another episode of Cosmos and the City, the Sex and the City podcast. Today, we are talking about season 3, episode 16, titled Frenemies. And today, I have the lovely Kim Kalish.
Hi. Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so excited you're here.
This is so great. Sex and City got me through college, so this is a good moment for me.
Yes. Well, Kim, like, tell me about yourself.
Yeah. So I'm an LA-based comedian. I'm from New York originally, though.
Nice.
Born and raised, which is super exciting, I guess, for people. What do? I write a bunch of stuff. You can see some stuff on different websites.
Sweet.
I've worked with, like, College Humor and, I don't know, Conan and a bunch of other stuff. And then I run a stand-up show once a month at the Ruby, which I'm real proud of. First Fridays
cool.
of every month, which is really lovely.
What's the name of it?
That's called Laugh With Us.
Laugh With
Us. Really cool. Yeah, and I just do a bunch of stand-up and sketch, and I've done some late-night shows, and yeah, I'm around.
Awesome. Well, welcome.
Thanks.
So your background is it got you through college.
Oh, so much. Oh, my gosh. The last season of Sex and the City was my sophomore year of college, which is also the same year Friends ended.
Oh, interesting.
So, like, that was a big year of TV watching in my my house at college. So
then you were able to actually get stuff done.
Yeah. So my senior year, it was, like, a lot easier to get things done because I actually was able to pay attention to everything. But it's fine. Yeah, sophomore year, that was a big deal. I remember we used to, like, make Cosmos, which I'm sure we made wrong. So we used to do that. And then there was that weird thing where Sex and the City – can we do spoilers on
– Sure,
so,
yeah.
So, you know, Sex and the City ends with her going to Paris, and Friends ends with her going to Paris.
Oh.
And it all happened within the same, like, 3 months of each other. And my mind was blown that, oh, my God, how – is Paris suddenly the place to run off to? Is that what you do? So, yeah.
I think I would totally run off to Paris if I could.
I've been to Paris. I would not run off to Paris.
No? Where would you run off to?
Like Australia. Let's go where all the really pretty people are, and it's warm all the time.
I agree with that.
So, but Paris may be my third choice, maybe.
Okay. Well, what's your second choice?
Anywhere but Paris.
Well, LA is a pretty good place to be.
It's pretty great. I love it a lot.
Yeah.
I actually think it's been like kind of rainy and very cloudy, and I love it. And it's been cold. I'm wearing a leather jacket right now, people,
yeah.
And it's fabulous.
Looks very cool.
Thank you. My cool factor does go up when I wear this. I didn't think about that when I bought it.
Well, that's why when I saw you walking across the street, I was like, is that her? Because she looks too cool to be on my podcast.
Yes. Mission accomplished. I don't have to do anything else for the day. That's all I needed in my life. Thank you so much.
Yeah, of course. All right, well, let's talk about this episode.
Yeah.
So a lot of things happen in this episode.
It's very plot heavy, mm-hmm. and it's not very character-y at all.
No.
Yeah, it's just like so many things go through on all the storylines, and I feel like we never get a second to breathe and get to just enjoy the ladies.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally.
Yeah.
Well, let's just do like a quick recap, and then later on we'll get into some segments.
Great.
Okay, so Miranda's getting ready for a first date with Will O'Connor. Samantha is having sex with Sebastian Wise. Do we meet him?
No, we see him kind of plowing her, but you never actually meet him.
Okay. Then why even say his name?
I have no idea.
That's so weird.
Considering she goes through so many men, I don't know why we had to name this one because we never meet him.
Yeah, I just realized that while I'm looking at this. Okay. And then Trey and Charlotte are still trying to have sex. Mm-hmm. And Carrie, I guess, isn't really dating anyone.
No, she's taking a little break.
And she's just working every night.
She's just having Carrie time.
So that's it. That's how this episode starts. We just get the lowdown.
But that's like a lot of things happening. Do you know what it is? It's that each girl has her own storyline and nobody interacts with each other. Mm. So you have four distinctive storylines going through the episode, and that's just a lot to get through in 28 minutes.
Yes.
You know.
And then, well, each girl also has their like one-on-one time with Carrie.
Right.
So that had to happen too.
It was a heavy filming week for Sarah yeah. Jessica Parker. She had a lot going on.
So much. So the big thing that happens with Miranda is several big things happen with her. So she has a date she's getting ready for, and she gets stood up.
Right. So she gets stood up, and then she's like on the phone with Carrie, and she's so stressed out of it being stood up. She's also eating what looks like pudding, maybe. She's got the spoon, and it's definitely I don't think it's ice cream because I don't see a container anywhere.
Right.
I'm going with pudding. Okay. So she's eating that. And then she decides to like call him the next day and get so mad about it. But then she gets his mother on the phone and then just loses it to a stranger about how horrible of a person he is, which that feels unfair. And then finds out that he has in fact died.
Yeah.
That he's just kicked the bucket right before the date.
Heart attack on the treadmill or something?
That's right. He was at the gym, which Carrie decides is a great reason to not go to the gym. And then Miranda makes it about herself and talks about how like, oh, everybody dies because there's no single men in New York.
Yeah. Yeah, not Miranda's finest moment.
I love Miranda, but I thought that's hilarious. Somebody dies and she's like, woe is me. You didn't even know him. You had no idea.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Which is why it is weird that she goes to the wake.
That's right. She said that somehow she got convinced to go to the wake. That like the mom from grieving, I guess Miranda was like, I'll go and I'll comfort you.
And she takes Carrie.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Okay. Well, I guess we can go ahead and talk about that.
Yeah.
So they're at the wake. And Carrie's like, oh no, I've never seen a dead body.
Right. So she's never seen a dead body, which is okay. Like, okay.
Are you sure? Because she's like 30-something.
I mean, maybe she's been lucky in life and no one's ever died. Or I guess they've died, but maybe they haven't had an open casket.
I guess.
I don't know. Aren't those like very in vogue?
I mean, I've seen several.
Go around and you're like, I've seen a lot of dead bodies.
Well, that is true. My mom plays the piano a lot for funerals, so.
That's a detail. That's a very specific detail of someone's life that's just been thrown out
here. So I guess I have seen a lot of dead bodies. So that's why it was so weird to me.
I mean, I've seen them. I think the reaction was interesting that she didn't want to see a dead body and then like wigs out, which, you know, I mean, I guess that makes sense, especially if you don't know the person. If you've never seen a dead body before, why would you want to? But then Miranda's like gung-ho about it. Very weird to me that they look at the corpse and say how cute he is.
Yeah.
It's hilarious to me.
She's like, damn.
My God, I lost. Also, I did think it was really funny where she's like, no, he planned for the whole thing. He had plans. He was ready for retirement. Like,
because there was like a party after the
wake. That's right.
and he had set money aside for it.
Like a legitimate party, a very Irish wakey, everybody go get drunk in my honor party.
Yeah.
Which is fabulous. Have you ever been to an Irish wake?
No.
They're so fun. I know that's a weird thing to say about someone dying, but they're so fun because you're drinking, you're allowing yourself to have some sort of happiness after someone dies, and it's all in their honor, which means you're just telling great stories and everyone's just laughing and having a good time. And it's honestly, it's a beautiful way to end a funeral.
Well, I saw P.S. I Love You, so.
So you're well-versed. You get it.
Yeah, because that's all that was. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, that was mm-hmm. the best scene in the movie. That's not a good movie.
Anyway. It's a terrible book, just so we're clear.
Oh, you read the book?
Yeah, it's bad. I don't know. I was going through a phase. I'm not proud of it.
A book reading phase or just?
A bad book reading phase.
Okay. Yeah. So you've read Sex and the City.
I haven't yet. I can't do it.
I tried. Yeah. Anyway. So, okay. Oh, yeah. We forgot to say. Okay. Well, we'll keep talking about this. So they're at the wake and they meet Jim.
Right, Carrie's ex-boyfriend from way back in the
day.
8 years
ago.
That's right. And he sounded like he was a very different person. Mm-hmm. He had long hair and he was like a rock star. And Carrie, have you noticed that anytime Carrie talks about an ex from like 10 years ago when she was in her early 20s, have you noticed that they're all rock stars? They're all like, I had a guitar and I was in a band. She had a thing for musicians who were dirt poor and not talented. Because none of her boyfriends and ex-boyfriends amount to anything. And they all were in a band.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She liked untalented musicians.
Yeah, because she has no taste. she hasn't dated the... No, did she? Did she already go out with the jazz man?
I don't think so. That's Craig Bierko. I don't think he's gotten on there yet.
Okay.
But he'll get there.
Yeah.
But yeah, so she, but there was the guy from, the one she has the abortion with. He also was in a band and he rode a skateboard.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She definitely had a type back in the day.
Yeah.
Oh, Carrie.
Carrie.
That's so sweet.
But Jim and Miranda seemed to kind of be clicking.
Yeah, there was a lot of chemistry there.
There was, actually.
Right? Right. Like a lot of times the men come off a little stiff and I thought their chemistry, they were like very flirty and I didn't find him particularly attractive and I still thought he was like, oh, this is a sexy moment. They're, I'm vibing with them.
But Carrie was like, no, he's an asshole.
Right. Very defiantly said he was an asshole and it was no good, which hilariously to me proves to be true. I really like that Carrie is a trigger for him. It makes me laugh. That whole thing made me laugh a lot.
Yeah. The scene, yeah.
So charming and wonderful to Miranda and so romantic and sexy. And then he's just obviously still maybe a little hung up on her. So he's just so bitter towards Carrie. I liked the idea that he's like, I read your column every week. Also, you're a bitch. I loved it. Also really feels typical of straight men. I feel like there's many men.
They just can't handle rejection.
Right. And they don't like being the one that hasn't decided to walk away, which I enjoyed a lot. That was fun.
So Carrie also, she gets invited to speak at a seminar on dating men.
Right.
Or finding men to date called Bright Lights Date City. And she's getting paid $300.
Right. Which bugs me so much.
Go on.
let's go on the low side and those women just paid $20 each, which is not true because she says at some point you've paid good money to be here, right? At 20 bucks a pop, there was what, 100 women in there?
Yeah.
Right? So how is she only making $300? She needs to learn how to negotiate better. That was insane. I was mad for Carrie. That's insane to me. Even the second one that she does, there's only 5 people. She still should be making more than $300. It's crazy to me.
Yeah, that was insane. And right? She was like, wow, $300.
And she was so excited about it. What is the 90s? What was, or that's not even 90s at that point. It's like early 2000s. Yeah. $300 is not a lot of money when you have 100 people coming to see you.
No, and like how long was the seminar? An hour?
Right.
2 hours?
That's the other thing. insane to me. Insane. Also, did she not have to prep an outline for anyone?
Exactly.
Did she not? She didn't pitch this. Somebody asked her to do it, but then did no one have a quality control check?
Oh, God. Yeah, because she literally had like a 2-minute speech prepared. And then what was she going to do for the rest of the time?
I did like that speech, though. Men are everywhere. Just step outside and you'll kick a man. Men, men, men. It was amazing. Also speaks to like how privileged Carrie is to be rich and pretty. And she, men are just everywhere. I'm in a coffee shop and there's a man. I love it.
Can you be more specific?
Girl had every right to ask her that. She's right.
Yeah. And then it just goes kaput. Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's see. So at the lunch, there's always a lunch. All four of them are together. Samantha got tickets to Samba, which they just kept bringing up. And you never see them go there.
Never.
Mm-hmm. Whatever. and basically this, Charlotte just gets mad because Samantha is just talking about how she enjoys sex. And Charlotte's just jealous.
Right. Right. Totally jealous. And to be fair, they are so antithetical of each other that it makes sense that at some point you have to have them blow up because Charlotte can be so conservative with sex. You know, so I think that actually made a lot of sense to me that that's where it would go.
Yeah.
But yeah, Samantha's not doing anything out of the ordinary. She's not being extra sexual. It's just that Charlotte is so frustrated, which, you know, makes sense. Trey, by the way, my least favorite husband in all of Sex and the City. I hate Trey.
Oh, why?
With such a passion. I just think he's, oh God. So I grew up on Long Island and I went to a fancy schmancy private school. And then I went to a fancy schmancy college. So I know those men. Mm-hmm. I know those men that are like so useless and such a mama's boy and just like glided on life and therefore have no idea what to do when something goes wrong. And I just find them to be so lacking in humanness. Mm-hmm. I just hate them. I think I used to watch Trey and be like, look at all of you men. This is what you're going to become. Look at the people I'm going to college with. Which is not to say there aren't wonderful people that went to my college, because I am absolutely friends with a lot of people still there. But let me just placate that a little. But I don't know. I know a lot of dudes that would wear, you know, the pink shorts with the whales on them. Be mm-hmm. like, you are Trey. That is what you are going to become. So, oh God. Yeah, I can't stand Trey.
So I think that Kyle MacLachlan did like a great job then, because he
100%
as an actor, like he seems like such a cool, nice guy.
100%.
Yeah. So that's why I can't hate Trey, just because I like the actor so much.
Don't you just roll your eyes at it? He just exhausts me so much. Even his metaphors were killing me. He's like, the wind is in the sail. How is that sexy in any way? What? The mast is up. Great, Trey. Go sailing.
But Charlotte just wants him to be the one so bad.
Yeah. And Charlotte, because she wants the intimacy of connection more than she wants the intimacy of sex.
Right.
You know, like she needs that next level, which is, I totally get, that's totally fair. But yeah, because he hits all the dots. He's all, mm-hmm. you know, he's all the things that she's supposed to want. You know, so she's messing. She needs therapy. She's messing with her brain a lot. I get it. I really do.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Also, so they bring up a term, Madonna whore, mm-hmm. which I had to look up.
Really? Oh, yeah. I've heard it so much.
I mean, I've heard the term before, but I guess I just never really understood what it means. So the definition is the inability to maintain sexual arousal within a committed, loving relationship.
Wait, what? That's not what I know that to be.
Oh.
So I'm going to take off my leather jacket and it's going to be very loud in here for a second.
Okay.
It's going to be fine. So I know the concept to be that, like, a man would have a Madonna and then he'd have a side piece and that would be his whore.
Oh.
So
that's very literal.
Yeah, I would know it as like the idea that a woman can't possibly be your wife and a sexual being at the same time. That's how I know it to be.
I think that's kind of what this is saying. It's just
it's saying they more, can't be more the scientific.
Same. Yeah.
Fair enough. I just wasn't ready for like, this is an actual therapeutic idea. This is what you're suffering from. I was just ready for like, you have two women because you can't understand complexity.
Yeah, I think Freud came up with this.
Of course he did. Of course he did.
So I wrote it down.
I love it. No, that's amazing. I know a lot of men that suffer from this, by the way. I know a lot of men that suffer from this, especially the men. I know so many from New York that suffer from this.
Like Trey.
Like Trey. That's what I'm saying. He's the worst.
And they have whales on their shorts.
Yeah. They're pink. And they're bad. Yeah, I know a lot of men that, you know, have to deal with the idea that you can't possibly have – one can't be the other. You can't bake cookies and be a sexual being at the same time, which is insane to me. But, you know.
See, I'm if I was a man, I would think that's super sexy.
That's how I feel. You're going to feed me and then we're going to have sex. That's a perfect day for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially Charlotte. She's so beautiful. She's so naturally beautiful and such like she's got a warmth about her. Like, mm-hmm. Why wouldn't you also want the side of her that's sexual? That just feels like you would have a fun little secret about Charlotte that she's like an animal in bed.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. You're missing out, Trey. You're screwing up.
He is. Okay. So let's talk about Samantha then. So Samantha and Charlotte, they have this fight. Samantha, you know, well, you're not coming to Samba. That's her threat to everyone. You're uninvited, yeah, all of that, you.
Yeah.
She goes shopping and meets this lady, Claire Ann.
Who just feels like an older, bigger version of Samantha. Like,
yes.
Everything Samantha does is an 8, and this woman is just at a 9, yes. No matter what.
And Southern.
Okay.
I don't know why they had to make her Southern. But.
Did you notice they also, they styled her the same as Samantha?
Mm-hmm.
Like the hair was flipped. It was the down flip out, you know, and it was like the same shade of blonde. This is crazy. I mean, it's great. I get it. I get what you were doing, Sex and the City.
But yeah, they have like a little like tiff at first because they're like fighting over the same cashmere
Yeah,
scarf
in which Samantha was lying. She did not have it first.
No, she didn't.
She absolutely did not.
No, she had the purple one.
Yeah, she got that scarf on a lie, which yeah. I appreciate.
And then what does Clarion say? Like, do you know where like a woman can get a drink in a dark bar?
Yeah, it's like a dark bar and a strong drink. Yes. It's New York. Walk half a block. They're not hard to find.
So they don't even go to that bar, though, because the bar it looks like they went to is very bright.
Very bright, very big. Not some dark, smoldering bar.
No.
Ridiculous. And they pick up two men in the weirdest way because they just look and her mouth is kind of half open and they make eye contact and nod and they're like, that's it. That's you now. And that's where they go.
And they come over.
Right. But then they switch bars, right?
Oh, do they? Oh.
Oh, do the girls just walk to them and it just looks different? That's totally possible.
I don't know.
It doesn't matter. But
yeah, so they're all like hanging out at a booth and nobody's really talking about anything.
No, they're kind of talking to each other and not, you know, there's just like, you're cute. I picked the blonde one. It's great. Good for you. And then what was her name? Claire Ann. Claire Ann. She does this amazing. It felt like I was in a Tennessee Williams play. Like, I just love her. She's like, I could eat you up. I'm going to eat you up. I'm going to eat you up right now. And then she like runs under there. You know?
And it was just so, it was very theatrical. Like with the whole like table moving up right. and down.
And his facial expressions were crazy. They're so big and they're so like eyebrow moving of like, what's happening? What's happening? And then he gets into it. And the way he gets into it is he nods really, really high and down. Just keeps nodding. It's the weirdest reaction to a blowjob I personally have ever seen. I've done the research on this. Men don't look like that during blowjobs.
Especially they wouldn't look like that in public.
No.
Like he would hide it.
That's it was crazy. Not that you would have to hide it because her ass is just out from the table.
Right.
And she's just out. I also loved, though, Samantha says goodbye and then she keeps talking to him, to her, while having the blowjob. I also love that, like, the friend was like, are you going to get in on this, Samantha? And I like that that's where Samantha draws the line. You know, she's had, like, sex on top of buildings and, like, her windows are never, like, curtained when she's having sex. But blowjob in public? No. Which I do not believe Samantha has never done.
Oh, yeah, she's definitely done it.
Right, right, right. I guess it's just, it's too out in the open for her.
I think, like, this lady out Samantha'd her, right?
Right.
She was finally, like, seeing.
Right, right, right. I just think it's funny. There's something funny to me that, like, Samantha's definitely given a blowjob in public. It's funny to me that watching someone give a blowjob in public, that's her line. You know? Like, she doesn't want, if she's not participating, it's too much.
Too much.
It's too much. I like it.
All right. Let's
I enjoyed
see.
It. I did like the voiceover during that, though. I thought the metaphor of Samantha had a little Charlotte in her and Charlotte had a little Samantha in her, I thought was very sweet.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought it does a really good job of, because you could look at it from the outside of not knowing why those two are friends and then realizing that they balance each other. I think it's really nice.
Right. Because Charlotte, she has that lunch with her old sorority sisters.
That's right. And I hated them.
Yeah, they suck.
From the moment you saw the tied sweater around their neck, it was like, I hate you. I don't care what comes out of your mouth right now. I hate you.
And I guess she had like a little too much to drink, but she was just like, Charlotte just got real with them.
Yeah, she's going through a moment. I understand that. She's going through a really intense moment. She needs to talk about it to what she had decided were her real friends who got her, kind of thing.
Right.
And then they just freak out.
Because she's like yelling, like, I just want to be fucked.
Right.
I just want to be fucked. Just really fucked. And yeah, so her friends turn into frenemies.
Right. Which, by the way, I looked up that term because I wasn't sure if frenemies maybe came from Sex and the City, but it doesn't. Apparently it came from the 50s when it came from this article. It said, can the Russians just be our frenemies? When they were talking about, like, the beginning of the Cold War.
Okay.
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
I just wanted to know. I thought it sounded like something that might come out of a writer's room from a TV show, but apparently not. Apparently it's all about the Russians, so.
Interesting.
Right?
Cold War. Okay. Okay. Yes. And yeah, and then when Charlotte walks away from her frenemies, then the VO is also like, she has Samantha in her.
Right, right. I thought it was sweet. I thought it was a beautiful way of really showing their friendship and why they're friends.
And Charlotte and Carrie, they go lingerie shopping.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just picking out these really trashy
crazy
looking.
So trashy. Very Fredericks of Hollywood. Just trash central. Which is funny. I don't know. I guess Charlotte was just so desperate. She didn't want to go somewhere classy. Because, you know, like, Carrie offers, like, why don't we go to La Perla?
Yeah.
Which is very sexy stuff. But it's just, like, more elegant.
Yeah.
You know, and less plastic.
Yeah.
And, Charlotte just wanted, you know, Hollywood Boulevard trash. Like, that's where she was going. And she needed it.
So I'm a little confused, though, by her lingerie that she actually did pick out.
The thing that looks like a nightgown?
Yeah.
It goes down to her ankles. Like, it looks like a maxi dress I'd wear on the beach.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a see-through.
Right. It's just, also, you get a little nip action through the see-through.
Right.
But then when she takes it off, the camera cuts up, which I thought was really interesting, because if she has a no-nip policy, which is her prerogative, then why does she allow it to be seen through the dress? That confused me a little bit. You know?
Yeah.
So you get this whole thing up here. But that lingerie is terrible because it's not lingerie. It's a nightgown that's see-through.
Yeah.
It goes down to her ankles.
It's very weird.
It's crazy. Oh, it's floral, which is not sexy.
No.
You know?
And that's why when Trey was like, what are you wearing? I was like, good question. What is she wearing?
Like, girl, yes, we need to talk about this.
Yeah, and he's like, "What is? Does he say take it off?" Or
he says, "Charlotte, you're my wife. Put something else on."
Oh, okay.
Which just want to walk through that screen and talk to him about feminism.
Yeah,
telling him why it's wrong.
But she does just take it off.
That's fair. She does listen.
Yeah,
she does. She does say like okay.
Okay.
Here's my loophole.
Yeah, and then she just starts touching herself and.
Yes. Here's my question. I watched that scene twice because I have questions. Does she start masturbating or does she just touch herself? Because if she's masturbating, why does she stop like 20 seconds in? Is it because he, do you understand? Like, I feel like those are two very fundamentally different ideas, because one is just, I want to get my husband aroused, and one is, I want to show him I'm a sexual being that can sexually please myself and be strong or whatever. Because then she just goes, then he's like, the mast is raised. And then she just goes, and runs away. I don't know. There's something about it that's frustrating to me.
I think it is. I think she was just touching herself to arouse her husband.
Right. I guess for me, this may be very 2019 looking on to Sex and the City, but I feel like there would have been something more powerful to say to have her actually like climax and have her be a fully sexual being by herself so he could see that.
Right.
And then that might be very 2019 of me, but that just, I don't know. It just kept going where my brain went.
It's probably editing issues. Like,
oh, that's fair. I guess we couldn't show it in real time. That's a fair point. I mean, maybe not. Maybe Charlotte's like real quick with herself. You never know. So,
but they do have sex.
Yeah, for a whole minute and a half.
A whole minute and a half.
Good for him.
And she's so excited.
Yeah.
And she calls Samantha.
Yeah, I thought that was so sweet. I liked that they didn't even apologize to each other. They just went and kept being friends.
Yeah, she's just like, well, I fucked him.
Yeah.
I used the word fuck. I used it so much this
morning. And I like that Samantha's me like, great, did you come? I need answers.
But she didn't answer it.
No, she got all like, shy.
She's like, Samantha.
Yeah. No, I thought that was so sweet. And Samantha was genuinely so excited for her, which I love. I like watching Samantha get excited about other people having sex.
Yeah.
It's really sweet.
She does a lot.
Yeah, she gets very excited when her friends get laid, which is how we should all be.
It is.
We should all just
so nice.
She should be just walking down, giving high fives to any woman that looks like she's gotten laid. It's like, you're in a good mood. High five to you. I'm glad you got some.
All right, let's see. What have we not talked about? Well, Jim and Miranda. Oh, well, Carrie goes on to get drinks with Jim and Miranda?
Yes. Which feels crazy for a second date. Let me just bring my chaperone with me.
Yeah. I don't know why that was needed.
I think it was just to show that he is in fact an asshole. And that she's a trigger for him.
Yeah.
I do like that we're getting into like Miranda has better hair.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like yes. We've gotten past, and they've stopped putting Miranda with like funky looking dudes, mm-hmm. and they've started putting her like with attractive men. That's a very exciting time for me. I'm a big fan of Miranda.
Well, do you think Steve's attractive?
I think he's adorable.
Okay.
I think he's so adorable. He's got the weird voice and those glasses, and I don't care because he loves her, and that's all I care about.
Yeah, he comes back soon. We're almost back, Steve.
I'm so excited for him.
Yeah, I just love the way Jim says, like, ooh, the fancy lawyer lady's breaking up with me.
So funny. I like that he's like, can I order another Chardonnay for the beautiful lady? And you can see Miranda be like, oh, thank you. But you can also see part of her being like, let me order my drink, which I love so much.
Let's see. Yeah.
Oh, here's a tiny little tidbit. Ridiculous. But at the beginning when Samantha is having sex with Sebastian, who we never meet.
Right.
Did you notice how far up his butt was that he could not possibly be having sex with her unless he had a 2-foot penis? It's ridiculous. His butt is above her knees. So like it's literally here. Her legs are here and then his butt is above her knees. And then he's thrusting and he thrusts like maybe halfway down her thighs. And then she makes this huge like, noise. And then he pulls out and goes all the way up above her legs. So like, is his penis 2 feet long? I need to meet Sebastian. I have many questions.
It might be.
Right? Oh, it was crazy. It was so fun to watch because I didn't understand it. Oh, I love it.
I mean, why didn't we meet Sebastian?
I don't think we ever do either. I think he's just flavor of the week that happens to have a name.
Okay. Oh, that's right. So Carrie goes back to the seminar for seminar number 2.
Oh, yes.
And this time she's like, you know what? I do know about men. I'm ready to actually do the job and like right. give an actual seminar. But she gets there and there's like, yeah, only like 6 people.
Right. And then she transforms to the pickup artist and she pulls everyone to a bar and just like gets them to hit on men, which high five because they're clearly very nervous women. But that's not a seminar, Carrie.
No, but it was nice. She's like, I took my $300 and bought everybody drinks.
Yeah, I thought that was very sweet. I thought the cigarette move was very slick.
Yeah.
Considering they were watching the whole time and those guys were like 5 feet away, they watched her douse out the cigarette and then walk over. So I really liked the idea that she was transparent in her picking up of the men. I enjoyed that thoroughly. I also liked the brazen just tap on the shoulder and start talking.
Have you met Liz?
Yeah, that was amazing. That's a very smooth move. And I watched it and was like, I need to wingman someone and do that because that's amazing.
Well, that's like the whole thing of How I Met Your Mother. Have you met Ted? Yeah.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But women don't do that often. And I like watching a woman just be like, hi, this person. Aren't you attractive? Look at my attractive friend. She works in TV.
Now, my favorite thing about this last scene is the extras.
Oh.
Okay, because at the very end, they kind of put Carrie and those other girls like in the background a little bit. And then we actually have extras in the foreground.
Mm-hmm.
And this one girl, you just know they're having a fake conversation.
Oh, yeah.
And she's just being so animated. And you can tell like they're doing it silently.
Oh, I love
this.
You can
totally tell that they're just speaking silently to each other. And it's just. It's so, I want to find who this actress is. I want to be like, be on the show. You seem like a fun person.
You should screenshot that and put it on your Instagram.
Okay.
You know, the extra or whatever. That's really fun.
Who is this actress?
Who is that person?
Because I feel like I've seen her before.
Okay.
Because she's just so animated. I mean, she looks like she was auditioning to be a Disney princess or something in the way she's just like,
oh, I love that.
Having this fake conversation.
I really loved the women that were in the seminar because none of them, the ones that didn't have lines in the back, because their reactions were also huge. Their reactions were like, oh, big eyes. So excited. Look, she's talking to a man. She's so excited the whole time. I love it. Whereas like Sarah Jessica Parker was tiny and just smoking a cigarette and there's like no movement on her face. I loved it so much.
One of those actresses that had a line is like, she's on Orange is the New Black.
The blonde chick? The blonde chick looked very familiar to me and I couldn't place her.
She didn't, this is one that was like, she's an older lady. She's like, are you married or something like that?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Didn't even catch that.
In the first, she didn't make it to the second seminar. She just was at the first one.
She didn't care for Carrie.
No. Oh, yeah. And the questions they were asking at that first seminar, like, how old are you? Have you ever been married?
Oof. So, well, first of all, completely inappropriate. Second of all, that's not even what it was titled. So what does it matter if she's married?
Right.
You know, Big Lights, Date City, ain't nothing about a ring in there. So like, what are we doing? Also, you could have looked her up. She's a sex columnist. What did you expect her to talk about? I don't even know. It's all very intense to me.
Well, I thought it was a fun ending to the episode.
Yeah, I thought it was very sweet.
Where so many things happened.
Yes, agreed. I liked it. I thought it was a really sweet ending, actually.
Hey, everyone. There's more Cosmos on the way, but first, a quick break to hear a word from our sponsors. All right. Well, now let's get into some segments.
Let's do it.
Okay. So first up is Hottie of the Week.
Dum, bum, bum.
Hottie of the Week. So this is where we pick who our hottie of the week is in this episode.
Oh, boy.
Not much to choose from. Who do we have? We have Jim.
Trey. Dead guy.
Will O'Connor.
Fuck buddy.
Sebastian.
You never see his face, but you see his butt. So yeah. He's a contender.
Is that it? I feel like we're missing.
I think that's it.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about this segment because I knew it was coming. And I've been thinking about this and I can't put my stamp on any of these. but I'm going to throw this out here.
Sure.
I think Charlotte was the sexiest person on the show for this episode in the masturbating scene because she was just so owning herself. And I mean, it's either that or butt guy. It's the Sebastian guy for me.
No, I think you're right. I think this is a special case in Hottie of the Week where I think we can bring the four women into it. And I think you're right. I think Charlotte deserves Hottie of the Week.
Yeah. She owned herself. She owned that sexiness. And that was the only scene where I was like, yes, get it. I would place myself there and be fine with it.
All right. So Charlotte it is.
Charlotte it is.
Hottie of the Week. Mm-hmm. All right. Next up we have Who Wore What Why. Who Wore What Why. So let's discuss some crimes of fashion. Anything stick out to you?
I mean, aside of the heinous nightgown.
Yeah.
It's just like, what is happening? I really dug, tip of the hat, to Carrie's white shirt at the beginning that was rolled up. Mm-hmm. And was like loose fitting, but with some sort of silky, satiny thing going on. I thought it was gorgeous. And it was like, almost safari-ish.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Was she wearing that gold necklace with the red heart?
No, that's the blue dress one. That's a great outfit.
Yeah, I really like that outfit.
That's another tip of the hat. That's fantastic.
But she wore that necklace a couple of times in the episode with different things.
Oh, that's fair. She did wear it with a white shirt. I don't think it is that white shirt.
Not the same one. But yeah, the blue dress with that necklace.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
Absolutely gorgeous. I don't know if there was anything like too crazy.
I really like, so for most of the hair in Sex and the City, Samantha, Miranda, and Charlotte, it's always kind of the same. Their hair is always the same.
Yes.
But in this episode when Charlotte was going lingerie shopping, she had her hair like half up and was kind of curly.
Yes.
And she had like a cute little white crop top.
Yes.
I was like, yeah.
But then she wore it with khaki pants.
Yeah, they were like plaid,
which
too.
Is questionable.
Yeah. But from, you know, waist up.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll give you that. That's totally fair. There was a lot of that, though, because I felt like some of Carrie's bottoms were weird. You know, like the white shirt, fantastic. And then they pulled in to her apartment, and then she had like these weird pajama elephant pants.
Yes.
They were terrible. Oh, killed me. It's so atrocious.
And then I always like when Samantha's on the phone at her house and she's just always like in underwear and in some kind of like
silk gown thing.
Yes.
Yeah. Silk robe. Oh, I loved it. It
was so posh.
Very bright. It was a very bright, you know, floor, like big flower thing. It was very pretty, but wow. It's bright.
She's a bright lady. Bright woman. All right. Well, next up is Pun of the Week.
So any funny puns stick out?
I don't think there was any puns.
Yeah.
There was some good wordplay, I thought. It was really fun. I'm trying to think of like any specific ones. Well, I mean, can we just go back to the mask stuff? It was just too much. It was hilarious to me that they just kept going with it as far. Like, they brought it back. Someone in that writer's room thought, not only is this great wordplay, but we're going to call back at the end of the episode and just tack it on as a little, like, ding, 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 we've done it.
Yeah, it was a lot.
It was so much.
I mean, does he really like boats that much? I don't know.
It's fair. That's totally fair.
Because, you know, there's that episode where they have to name each other's private parts.
Oh, God.
And he names his schooner.
That's right.
So his is schooner.
Oh, my God.
And Rebecca.
Also, just Bright Lights, Date City is a pun off of the novel, right? Bright Lights, Big City.
Right.
Which is about a stockbroker who's so hyped up on cocaine that he fucks up his whole life. That is what that novel is about. That novel is about the 80s in New York and how dirty and disgusting and cocaine-fueled New York was in the 80s. And that's what someone thought they should name a dating seminar.
Yeah, well, the dating seminar probably only lasted that second one. They were like, time to call it quits.
Carrie's a writer. She was like, this is great. I'm getting paid $300 and we're punning off of a cocaine binge. It's nuts. Oh, I love it. It makes me happy.
All right. And finally, we're here. You're such a... You're such a... So now you have to decide which of the four main characters you most identified with in this episode.
Oh, boy. Okay. I probably overthink these way too much. I want to say I was a combo. Can I throw a combo out?
Sure.
I have a combo Carrie Miranda.
Okay.
Because I'm definitely like in work mode lately and just very like, I need to make this happen. I have stuff to do. I don't have time for you. But Miranda needing validation and also being a strong woman and also but wanting someone in her life, but also wanting to be independent. I just live that life from day one until the day I die. I will live that life of Miranda. So like, I'm a little of both.
Okay.
Can I do that? I'm
of
doing
course.
I'm gonna cheat. That's what I do. I like to find the ways around the rules.
So you're such a Miranda Carey combo.
Yeah. That should be the new spectrum. Like, you know, personality tests, like an INFP or whatever.
Right.
You should be a CMSC. You know, when you have to name. I would understand people a lot more if they explained to me their personalities.
Who they are.
Yeah.
I think in this episode, I think I have to say I'm also a Miranda, but I'm just going to be a straight Miranda.
I get that. I like it's Miranda in its purest form. I understand that. That's beautiful.
You know, I've kind of been desperate before at that moment.
Sure, sure.
You know, and I wanted to work. But, you know, in the end, it's okay. But yeah. I can still be a strong woman.
But also high five to Miranda for getting back on that horse so quickly. So like high five to you for having that attitude.
Yeah.
If somebody died on me... Definitely wouldn't be on a date that same week. Wouldn't happen.
Yeah, no. I'd be eating that pudding or whatever it was.
I'm calling it pudding. It's probably ice cream, but I'm going to say, and I'm going to retcon this and call it pudding.
I actually think it might have been like mashed potatoes or something.
What? I thought it was like chocolate.
Was it?
Oh, I'm making shit up. It's fine.
All right, Kim. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you
we
for
did
having
it.
Me. This was so fun.
All right, cheers.
Cheers to you, m'lady. All right. Boom. Let's do this.
Well, that's the episode. Thank you so much for listening. I also want to thank a few people that make the show possible. John Fredette for the music. You can check him out at johnfredette.com. Our amazing guest, Kim Kalish.
Terrence Deutsch, producer, and everyone over at Boardwalk Audio. Again, if you like what you hear and want to show us some love, you can find us on Instagram and Facebook, both at Cosmos and the City, or on Twitter at CATC Podcast. If you haven't done so already, please like, rate, and subscribe. It really allows our podcast to grow. And if you have any other thoughts, opinions, ideas, etc., you can email us at cosmosandthecity@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from all of you. So we'll catch you next week. Cheers!
And a Boardwalk Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit BoardwalkAudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.